Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
2, 3, 4.
Be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sydney.
And welcome back to the beautiful ANZ Stadium in our hometown, the beautiful city of Sydney. Very overcast today, but it's going to be big. It's grand final night. We're broadcasting it live right across the Triple M network. Kickoff just after 7:30. Hope you'll join us for that. And of course, we are here thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, 1-800-848-848. We have Bryden's on deck to do an origin show, and hopefully we might even just rip in and go right across summer by demand. But thank you very much to the team at Bryden's for getting on board with our State of Origin show. And they are proud supporters of the New South Wales State of Origin side as well. Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper, Gordon Tallis. And let's have a little bit of fun now. It is time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Well, you know how this works. We just ask the boys, what's on your mind? What do you want to get off your chest? It can be rugby league related, but it doesn't have to be. So I Call BS. Let's start with you, James Triceps Hooper.
Well, Anthony, not for the first time, social media has lit up and gone burko about this Castle Hill RSL incident from earlier in the year when you promised that you would get breast implants if the Parramatta Eels made the top four. And so as a result, I would now like to welcome to the program our eyewitness, Chris from Castle Hill. Chris, hello. And please just talk us through so we can get your version of events, exactly what happened out there on the evening in question.
Hello, Triple M listeners, and hello, Anthony Maroon. Listen, yeah. I just want to clear something up, mate. No, mate, listen, let me speak. I was an attendee at Maroon's Trivia. G'day, Gordy. I was an attendee at Maroon's Trivia at the Castle Hill RSL on a Thursday night back in February. There would have probably been about 50 or 60 people in attendance. There was a table of para fans, you know, chirping up the front, you know, all harmless banter and all that. And Maroon fires back and said, "Dead set, you lot." And this is a direct quote. "Dead set, you lot. I'll tell you all right now, if the Parramatta Eels make the top four, I will get breast implants." Maroon, right. Am I right or am I right?
This is absolute. Where do you live, Chris?
Castle Hill, mate. Castle Hill.
Okay, well, you're not the guy that rang, that texted Kenty with the, that started
well, actually,
all this.
Anthony, it's funny right. to say that. PK is I know PK through an acquaintance. And, yep. You know, as soon as this happened, I thought, I've got to tip PK into this. Because, right. you know, as we all know, given Maroon's record for making unsubstantiated bets, I thought, you know, yeah, I'll pass it on to PK.
Well, but, Chris,
one of the paraffins said, "We'll hold you to that," right? And within minutes, and I don't think you boys will believe this, but it's true, Maroon then proceeded to conduct what I can only describe as a shakedown by interrogating people, table. It was intimidating and it was completely inappropriate.
Right.
Well, Chris, I'll tell you what happened in the interim between the statement that he made and the shakedown was at 7:53 on Thursday, January 23. I sent Anthony a message.
January.
Oh, no, we can play this back for you later because we know you're getting old and senile. But let me say this.
Sorry, it was January. Sorry.
Oh. Yeah, well,
but anyway, I wrote a text to you, Anthony. I said, "Get ready for the breast implants, buddy." You wrote back, "What are you talking about?"
Exactly.
So, Anthony, I think you're a compulsive liar. I said, "Eels might make the top four," at which point you wrote back, "I have no idea what you're talking about."
There you go.
I said, "The entire crowd at Castle Hill RSL does." You wrote back, "I'm at home."
Where are you going?
People, Anthony.
I clearly have made no reference to...
Do we need to go to the invoices? Do we need to go to the rocket industry invoices?
Listen, you were deliberately thrown off. No. You know there's no invoices.
No.
That supports his case.
Chris, I don't know who you are, but you just congratulations, mate. You've got yourself barred. A lifetime ban of any Trivia Night I host. You are barred. And look out, mate, if I see you in the street, straight into a karate stance.
Have a good day, boys.
Thanks, Chris.
Oh, what about that guy? Where did you find him?
Well, we found him at Castle of the Rar himself.
Yeah, oh, it happened in January.
January 20. I've got the date here.
Oh, good Lord.
I've got your whole denial. You try to pretend you're at home.
I wasn't. Well, if I said I was at home, let's put the whole thing to bed. I've told you on the text on it. You're smarter than that, Paul.
All it takes is a phone call to Castle Hill RSL to confirm you host a trivia night there Thursday, January 23 in the evening. And your whole alibi is shot to bits, mate.
Look, you've got this bloke, and I've never heard of him.
Come on, Anthony.
I don't know him.
Just admit it, mate.
What I would suggest to you two, and I'm going to call BS on you two, it's grand final day. Have you guys done any work on the grand final? You've done all you've...
We've spoken about it for the opening half hour of the program.
You've spent an hour and 12 minutes trying to bury me.
We've got a grand final legend on in Gordon Tallis, who's wearing his grand final ring, one of them. Yeah, he's picked up on this day, so we've done plenty of...
All right, okay. Yeah. I call... All right, who would like to call BS next?
Yeah, I'll call BS on the Grand Final Entertainment. Anthony, look, we've been here. The stadium isn't open yet to the general public, but we've been here, and through the day, from various times, as a bit of a rehearsal for later in the evening, music has started up over the speakers. We've heard AC/DC, various songs from AC/DC, and yet when they... Grand Final Entertainment begins, it's Amy Shark.
Mm.
Now, if they're pumping up the crowd with AC/DC type music during the day, I know they can't get AC/DC here, but wouldn't you go with some more Aussie rock rather than Amy Shark?
I don't know any Amy Shark songs.
Neither do I. I can't help you there.
The Lone Ranger.
I tell you what else I want to call quickly BS on too, and I say this respectfully to people like Ryan Hoffman. Ryan Hoffman did the press conference yesterday for Melbourne Storm. Now, Anthony, I went to the NFL Grand, Super Bowl some years back. Super Bowl Monday, they have every player from every from both squads available. Tuesday, you have the coach, you have the top six players in their squad available. That's the quarterback, the star wide receiver, the star cornerback, defensive end, whatever it is in that team. The NFL picks the six most popular players. They do the press conference again on Tuesday for a full hour. They have to be there. They do it again on Wednesday for a full hour, the same people. And then on Thursday, the NFL does this thing whereby they pick six people to represent the media who go to the training and again talk to those people. Every day the coach speaks, every day the quarterback speaks, because it's the biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
For both teams this week, and it's not just these teams, it's every year in the grand final, for teams to not be able to sit down and have the coach every day, the captain every day, it's just embarrassing. And like I said, with due respect to Ryan Hoffman, people know him only as a player who played 4 or 5 years ago. No one knows he's on the staff at the Storm anymore.
Mm.
Tell us that these people, for the biggest game of the year, can't give even 15 minutes. In the NFL, it's an hour every day. If they can't give 15 minutes to sell the game, I reckon it's terrible. And it follows over now into, we talk about a State of Origin and how State of Origin is this game that we've got this little bit of magic dust on that no other games have been able to repeat. And we all talk about State of Origin as the benchmark competition anywhere in the world. We've just had an opportunity now to have a documentary made, which Netflix and Stan and all those were already in the process of bidding for. And because Wayne Bennett doesn't want to be in camp, it's all been canned. Mm-hmm. Nobody can convince Bennett to allow them to have the cameras in camp. I know there's a couple of things that was in the negotiations. Things weren't quite as clear-cut as we've been made to believe. But the fact is, the NRL should step in at some point and say, listen, guys, we need to sell this game. And this year, more than ever, should have shown the importance of getting out and selling the game.
Yeah, well, there might, we might have an opportunity later on to discuss that in further detail, Paul. What about you, Gordon? Would you like to call BS?
Yeah, it's a bit on Kenty's point. I've always been one that people that go there, and I know it's part of the game now, but people that complain about the halftime entertainment or the pre-game entertainment, I don't buy a grand final ticket to go watch some person come and sing. I go to watch the game, and I know it's part of it now and all that, but, you know, people were bagging, I think, the AFL's, you know, pre-match entertainment. Well, they can't get any international stars this year. You can't get the big names, and normally when that comes on anyway, you're normally going to the toilet, the Brasco, or going to get a feeder or a couple of beers to come back and sit down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not even watching it. It's like the last little bit before you, you know, go there and get in your seat to watch the game. So I always go to watch, you know, the footy, but I'm a footy fan, so...
But that's the point, Gordon. You're a footy fan, whereas what the NRL and the AFL both use their grand final through their entertainment is to try to appeal to those people who aren't necessarily NRL or AFL fans. And by putting on entertainment and showing everybody what they're capable of, you're hopefully attracting those people in future. That's the point of it.
All right, boys, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. There's plenty to get through our grand final special.
Yeah, come back to Wayne Bennett not letting media in.
Yeah, we will come back to that. We'll talk about that next, actually. Wayne Bennett is now the coach, obviously, the Queensland Origin side, and he won't let Karl Stefanovic in with his cameras to film a documentary on the Origin series. But we'll take a break and come back and talk about that as Triple M rocks the grand final.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, welcome back. Triple M rocking the NRL Grand Final right across the Triple M network to the beautiful Cairns down into Townsville, Mackay and the Whitsundays and the Fraser Coast, all up into the beautiful sunny coast, then into Brisbane, Toowoomba, Port Macquarie, Coffs Harbour, then down into the beautiful Newcastle, the sunny coast, the Riverina through Triple M Wagga and Triple M Griffith, and, of course, the beautiful Triple M Sydney, our hometown. When I say our hometown, that'll be Kendi and Hoops and I, but of course Gordy's up there in the beautiful Brisbane. Now, this has come to light, and it's really, I think, divided people's opinion here, Paul. I'll start with you on this one. The Wayne Bennett thing, putting the kibosh on Karl Stefanovic's idea to have an Origin documentary where Karl Stefanovic takes a camera crew into the New South Wales and Queensland Origin dressing shed. Now, you argue that it's good to promote the game, but some might argue, well, hang on a second, Wayne Bennett's the coach of the Queensland Origin side. He's a 35-year veteran of first-grade coaching or somewhat. If he doesn't want a camera crew in there, he shouldn't have to bloody have one.
Yeah, well, you can argue that, but it depends on where your priorities lie. The fact is, as coach, obviously Wayne doesn't see it as beneficial to have a camera, and I completely understand that. But he does have bosses, which is the Queensland Rugby League. Now, I've been led to believe that it's not quite as over the line as what we thought, that deal. And there's still some things to be sorted out. But I would think, look, Anthony, let's think big picture. It depends whether you want to think big picture or small picture. Okay, do you want to be set about all about winning this series? Is that what it's all about? If that's what it's all about, don't have the cameras in there.
Mm-hmm.
Get on with it and just be able to focus on playing footy. Big picture. Earlier this year when the COVID hit, Netflix fast-tracked through the Michael Jordan documentary, okay, the last chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a smash.
Last chapter,
what am I thinking? It became a smash around the world. And everybody looked at that, and it was a way, and the secret to the documentary was in Michael Jordan's last season as a Chicago Bull, they allowed cameras in. And there were certain conditions put on those cameras being allowed in, but those, and Jordan had the right to veto any vision he was uncomfortable with, and there was a delay put on it, and it's only just now been turned into the documentary. But it gave everybody a whole new insight into Jordan. It generated new interest in the NBA. It reminded everybody once again how great a player Jordan was. And so I think a lot of sports around the world have seen that. And I've spoken to Andrew Abdo myself about this. The future for rugby league is to sell the story of rugby league. we all know broadcast rights are on the way down. There's no doubt when there's probably about another 6 or 7 years of the current system, and then it will change. Then you'll have to go to a different model. And what I say there, just so people can understand, so what happens now is the NRL, when the broadcast negotiations come up, Fox Sports, Channel 9, Channel 7, Optus, they all come in and they offer a certain amount of money to televise the game. Now, Fox Sports have won the rights for some, well, have always held the rights because they've paid the most money, firstly. Secondly, they pay for the production costs along, or they share it with Channel 9, the host broadcaster as well. But when it goes to the streaming model, two things happen. One is the NRL is going to have to pay the $50 million a year for broadcast production. The other thing that happens is they don't actually give a guaranteed upfront like Fox do and Channel 9 do now. They actually go to a revenue sharing model where they go, okay, let's go to the market, and if we get $50 million, we'll share that. If we get $150 million, we'll share that. So you're going into unknown territory. It's going to make it very different, the whole pricing model that we've got.
Can I ask a quick question on that, Paul?
Yeah.
Will that mean it's just? Could that then mean that in the future, for the sake of the argument, three commercial TV stations might get a slice of the pie, and four
that could happen. Yeah. That could happen.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
That could. Mm. And there's no look. We don't know what the simple answer is. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like. Certainly, the NRL will try to maximise whatever monetary deal is done, but we don't know what that's going to look like. But the fact is, we're in a sweet spot now where we have 6-7 years to really start selling the game, and if we're fair dinkum about actually expanding the game, and let's remember, NRL is in a fight to the death right now with the AFL. They are competing for the same marketing, for the same sponsorship,
yep,
the same crowd, the same population. I don't know of another country in the world that has two major football codes like there is in Australia. And the NRL's in a competition for that every year. So they should be doing whatever they can right now to try and win the hearts and minds of people. That's what it's all about. And if Origin is our best product, and Origin, to be fair right now, Origin is the only product in the NRL that you could package into a documentary and take around the world that I think would have genuine worldwide interest. They wouldn't be rugby league fans, but what we've seen now with Netflix is you sit down, you watch a documentary. You're right there, Gordy. We sit down and watch a documentary, and it's whether it's on cycling in France,
yeah,
or whether it's on the drug culture, or whether it's gymnastics in America. Because of the way the story's been told, you will watch that on Netflix.
Yes.
Mm. And Origin has that ability for us to do that. So this is where the game needs to think bigger than three games of New South Wales versus Queensland, and it's about who gets the name on the trophy this year, and actually say, listen, guys, this is an opportunity to do something bigger for the game. Mm. In the NFL, they have a documentary called Hard Knocks, which is exactly what this is. And you might have seen it on Fox Sports, on ESPN. Yeah. And so what happens is the cameras are allowed into preseason training, into coaches' meetings, into video meetings, on the field. They're allowed all access. And certainly, the way that comes about is the NFL tells the teams, you are this year's team. You have no choice. You can't say, no, we don't feel comfortable. No, we're not doing it. The NFL picks the team and says, you are going in. So the recent one was the LA Chargers and the LA Rams. We've seen in the past it was the Cleveland Browns, the Oakland Raiders, different teams. And it gives you a fascinating insight.
Yes.
And we have the opportunity to do this.
It's like that for someone like me. I only like rugby league, but I'll watch ESPN for those 30 by 30s because it's so well put together.
They're interesting
stories. Yeah.
Mate, like they're great stories. And until the game stands up, and I remember having an argument with Wayne Bennett when the Brisbane Lions were quite popular in Brisbane and they'd won, I think, four competitions in a row. I kept on getting asked to do media, so I kept on doing it. And Wayne kept on saying, stop doing it. I said, no, I'm going to keep on doing it because you had Lee Matthews, who was a coach. I think he's arguably the greatest AFL player. Would do, and you'd see him on the news every single night promoting his coat. and Wayne didn't get it. It's not about himself. And then when he goes, oh, mate, well, they don't want to hear about me. Well, Wayne, why did you write two books?
Yeah, exactly.
If no one wants to hear your opinion, it's okay when you want to sell a book or you want to go to a luncheon and get paid to go to a luncheon. Well, you've got to promote the game. And until the game stands up, as what you just said, Paul, and makes them do it and said, I'm sorry, this is part of the deal, part of your contract, and all the money that you get, it comes from this. It comes from the media to a point where it fed down into Darius Boyd, where he would go into press conferences and not want to promote the game, the code, or whatever, and says, well, it's not my job. Well, part of it is to make sure that you're getting your sponsors out on the news every night so the people that put their hard-earned cash in see their brand on television in the biggest market.
One of the lies, Gordy, that the players told at the last collective bargaining agreement was that they wanted to be partners in the game, to share in the game's upside and its downside. Well, this is an opportunity. If this game, and I don't know what sort of deal would be done with Stefanovic and the documentary makers, but if this game was able to be sold to Netflix and go around the world and reach an audience and hit however many downloads or whatever, there is an opportunity here for an enormous upside for the game and an enormous financial upside for the players.
Further to that point as well, boys, I think if you look at somebody like Freddie Fittler and the approach that he takes to State of Origin and the fact that it's an open door policy, his attitude is if players can't handle getting asked a couple of questions by journalists day in and day out in the lead up to one of the biggest games of their careers, well, how are they going to handle the furnace that, Gordon, as you know, is the Origin Arena? So I'm sure from a New South Wales point of view, and this is where this whole Origin series is going to be fascinating after this grand final, because you've got Freddie, who has this completely different open-minded viewpoint on rugby league, the world in general, life in general, and then Wayne, who's still a damn good coach, but very much still a little bit antiquated and caught in the 1980s in many ways.
But boys, let me ask you this, Gordy, and throw it open to all of you. If Wayne says no, is that now it? Paul, is that now?
No, well, it's got to be part of the. It's got to be part of the deal when you sign the contract,
right?
To coach Queensland, to coach New South Wales, as what Paul said, that Peter Volandis comes and says, "No, this is what's happening," and you tell the states, and then our chairman has to make Wayne Bennett. So, sorry, Wayne, if you want this job, if you want the whatever it is, $300,000 for three games, part of that is these guys are going to come. They're not going to harass you guys, but we're going to film, you know, certain training sessions. And if there's, you know, the odd move that you want to go on, well, the cameras have to leave for that moment. And that's it.
I'm glad you mentioned Peter Volandis, Gordy, because I think you'll find that he even actually personally telephoned Wayne and said, listen, what do you think of this whole concept? Mm. You know, a lot of people with the big picture interests of the game at heart really like it and are pushing hard to make it happen. And even that, up until this point in time, hasn't had success. So it's not often that you see even PVL running into brick walls.
Yeah, but you don't ring Wayne and ask him. You ring Wayne and tell him. Wayne respects authority. You ring Wayne and say, listen, Wayne, I'm the boss. You want to do this job? You're letting the cameras in.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the way you do it. Like, I'm sure it will happen at some point in the future. Mm. So I don't think it's opportunity misses and you'll never get this chance again. But given what the game's been through this year and the opportunity to come out with something real quality where you could actually use it to sell around the world. Mm. And, yeah, you would do a deal with Netflix where for every download you got, you know, or streaming, you got a certain amount of money. It could be an enormous windfall. And this is the time to do it during COVID when people are at home watching.
Mm. Yeah, watching a lot of telly. Boys, we'll take a break. It's the Sunday Sin Bin. It's the grand final special. James Hooper, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis. My name's Maroon. And we do it thanks to our friends at Bryden's Lawyers. And so too, no scores today, obviously, because there's no other games. But we'll have the women's game coming up very shortly. Tyre Power's footy final sale is on right now. You buy three and you get one free on selected Kumo passenger and SUV tyres. When we return, Hoops takes a look at what other news is going on around the rugby league world as Triple M rocks the grand final.
Woo! The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, yeah, we are going right across the Triple M network, rocking the grand final. Make sure you're listening to us tonight. Dan Ganane is going to call the game for you with an absolute panel of experts, former Origin players and Australian players, Origin greats like this man that we've got on the line now. He's a Penrith legend. He's a member of the Fox League team, and he's a good mate of all of ours. Greg Brandy Alexander, welcome to the Sunday Sinbin.
G'day, Maroon.
Nice to. Hey, I believe you got the day off from your TV duties, mate.
I have, yes. Just going out there, heading out at about 4 and doing a couple of things. Something for the NRL, and I think I've got to go down and grab the ball. Does a helicopter still land if it's pouring rain and windy? I don't know. But that's part of the duty, and then just watching the game.
So hang on, are you going to be landing in the helicopter?
No, I've got to go out and get the ball out of the helicopter.
Oh,
someone
okay,
hands,
mate.
Someone hands me the ball. Me and Ryan Hoffman walk out in the field, grab the ball, and then hang around down on the sideline until kickoff. And then, yeah, that's the duties today.
Hey, Brandy, have you been out at training all week, and how are all the young kids going?
Been out there a couple of times, Gordon. Haven't saw them train. We had an open session on a Tuesday. They look great. As you do through grand final week, you know, those training sessions are always sharper than – it's because there's a bit of excitement in the air and everything works. So they look good. I had a chat from a, you know, a distance with a couple of the players, and they've enjoyed the week. They feel good. I don't think the occasion will get to them.
Brandy, the day today, have you spoken to – to Ivan or anything like that about just how you got to focus in and the last sort of minute preparations there?
No, I haven't, mate. I haven't had much contact. I haven't seen Ivan. I spoke to the other coaches. They were in a bit earlier through the week, and so I had a chat with Cameron Serraldo and Trent Barrett and Hayden Knowles. I haven't had a chance to talk with Ivan, only via a text, but that was pretty brief, so... Yeah, not sure of the exact plans of how they'll approach, you know, the lead up and just before kickoff.
What about the weather today, Brandy? How much is that going to change the game tonight?
Kenny, I don't know. It's just one of those things, isn't it, that we all sort of speculate and think, you know, who it will advantage if anyone. But you would have to say that depending on how heavy it gets and how windy it gets and, you know, they are predicting, you know, strong southerly winds and 100% rain out there at Homebush. So it could have a big impact on how they've played the game. Watching the Melbourne Storm dismantle Canberra last week, like it was the ball movement from side to side that really opened up Canberra in the middle, and then, you know, they punched holes in them that way. But I don't know if we'll see that sort of footy. If it's blowing hard, that will change things dramatically. And then, of course, the kicking game of both teams comes into play even more. And both teams have got great kickers.
Mm. Brandy, you've won grand finals and played football at the highest possible level and now been involved as an expert commentator for the last couple of decades. Cameron Smith, where does he sit in your perspective in terms of the greatest players that we have seen play the game?
Up there with the greatest, James. The fact that he's played more than 400 games says a fair bit about, what he's been able to do in the game. Of course, he's not the flashiest, he's not the prettiest player to watch, but, when it comes to big game footy, Cameron Smith's right at the top of the tree. The King, Wally, great Origin player, big game. Wally always delivered. Cameron Smith does the same thing. I guess when you're talking about the greatest players, you've got to take that into account, that how they handle themselves in big moments. And Cameron Smith is the most composed footballer I think we've ever seen. So it can be pretty chaotic out there, and he generally pulls the right rein, whether it's kick pass, making a decision for his team, dictating how the game is played, the tempo of the game, and whether that's through running, tackling, or kicking. So he's right up there, Jim.
And so with all of that in mind, from a Penrith point of view today, how can they try and – obviously, you can't nullify his influence on the game, but how do you try and limit his opportunities?
I think he's just – I think he's in for just one of those rare, pretty ordinary games to, you know, I don't think that's – you know, even the best have off days, don't they? I think Cameron's set, I think he's set for one tonight. So, I think you've just got to make sure that you can slow them down. It's all about momentum, and you know, whenever there's a chance to jump out of dummy half and you know drag a marker in and put someone in behind to play the ball, they are so dangerous. And I remember, you know, speaking about the game last week, coming up against the Raiders, and the two things that stood out for me against the Raiders for Melbourne Storm, their strengths, the back three, the speed of the back three, and Smith's ability to have Melbourne score tries and more tries in the middle than any other team by jumping out and hitting those big men. That's a huge danger. You know, picking up Tino and Jesse Bromwich and Nelson, who have scored, you know, multiple tries by just running onto Cameron Smith passes close to the try line. That's, I think, where they'll be dangerous tonight. And wet weather won't change that. It doesn't change how quick Pappenhausen and Adokar and Vunivalu are. And Smith's ability to get out and just pick the man in space with a short or long pass, that won't change. It doesn't matter what the weather's like.
Brandy, how do Penrith win this?
Well, their defence, Gordy, has to, and their defensive record's been great. So their defence has to be as good as it's been all year. So they have to limit the Storm. In attack, you know, wet weather, we'll just see what the conditions are like. But I've got no doubt you can get the Melbourne Storm on the edges. Adokar and Vunivalu love to get off the line hard. They will scream in off the wing. They'll run 20 metres infield to try and shut something down. Now, that leaves them susceptible to kicks behind midway through the set. And Ollerman and Branko Lee defensively are poor readers of defence. I don't want to get tackled by Justin Ollerman, but you can trick him. You can bring him out of the line and you can make sure you get out of his road. Otherwise, you'll put a hole in him. But I think you can get the edges. And Branko Lee, their right side defence has had a question mark over it all. Branko handled the Raiders on the weekend. But I watched the Melbourne Storm games towards the back end of the year against the Dogs, Newcastle, the Cowboys. Now, all those sides ran in tries against the Melbourne Storm, particularly down their right and against Branko Lee and Vunivalu. So they're the areas. You've got to go on with a plan, Gordy. You know, and that would be, you know, my plan would be around that and also trying to wear out the big men. Nelson loves to tackle around the legs. So he's 6'8", but he likes tackling around the legs. Now, you make him do that enough times, you know, he starts to get up a little bit slow and then Appy can run the ball. So all that should be part of Penrith's plan this afternoon.
Now, Brandy, aside from obviously a massive evening later on tonight for the Panthers and the grand final and all the aftermath and everything that it holds, you've also got a massive month coming up with State of Origin at the end of the season as well. When do you go into the bubble and will the Blues 27-man squad be finalised as of tomorrow morning?
Yes, it will, and I'll be going into the bubble tomorrow.
Okay.
James, right. So I'll get up and I'll go and join them. Hopefully get up there by, you know, lunchtime. And, and everything will be sorted before that, the 27th.
Sounds like you'll be going straight through then, Brandy.
Mate, I'll be taking it nice and easy.
Oh, as usual.
Whatever I do, yes.
Yes.
Hey, good.
I'm fit and available if you need me later, Brandy. The phone will be on.
You have done a Penrith gig, haven't you? Seven years ago.
I have got form in that department. Like. Yes. Yeah. One of the greats.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Anyway,
Brandy, we've spoken a little bit earlier about this documentary. It's now been knocked on the head. What are your thoughts on that? You've seen it from both sides, from a playing point of view, and now you work in the media. What are your thoughts?
Yep. About it getting in general, or getting knocked on the head?
About doing it in general.
You know what? New South Wales did a documentary last year. I don't know what's new. And I don't think the access... And that got played on Channel 9 last year at some stage. in the year, I can't remember when, but I remember New South Wales at, was it 2018 or, I can't remember whether it was 18 or 19, but New South Wales put together their own documentary and the access was unlimited. They had all access to everything, access to the, you know, the speech before the game from Freddie, they had access to everything. So, you know, I know in light of what's happened through COVID and everyone watched The Last Dance and, you know, there was, you know, but, you know, how much of the lemon can you squeeze? So when they said they're going to do a documentary, I thought, well, it's been done. And, you know, the fact that the Queenslander said, you know what, we don't want you part of it, well, I thought, oh, that kills that off. But I was a bit surprised it was getting done anyway.
Yeah, good on you, Brandy. Hey, best of luck tonight, old mate. We wish the Panthers well, as does everybody in Sydney.
What are the tips in there? What do you reckon, boys? What's because I've just had a look at I've just had a look at the Blues WhatsApp group, and they're putting their tips in. And
who are they favouring?
There's not many Penrith tips there.
Mm. What about you, Hoops and Kenty? What?
Yeah. Boys,
look, Brandy, I'll be honest.
Please just be honest. I don't care.
I have trouble being honest. I do think Melbourne, I think in some ways Melbourne are a little bit of a. They're a bit of a false promise in the fact that I think when we think Melbourne, we think of the great Melbourne sides, and I don't think this side's quite there. I think this side.
Mm. Yeah,
I think it's a testament to Bellamy and to Cameron Smith, but it's not really that iron grip Melbourne side we've seen in the past. So I think in some ways a lot of people are tipping Melbourne based on reputation rather than this year's form. And I'm probably doing a little bit of that myself, to be honest. And I do note the similarities between now and 2003, another greasy day.
Yep.
The way Penrith have emerged out of the pack this season, there's a lot of similarities there. So I think it's one of those ones that no matter which way it goes, you look back in hindsight and go, oh, I should have seen that.
Mm.
But if you took $100 out of my pocket, I'd put it on Melbourne.
Hoops.
Okay. I'd go the other way. I'm tipping the Panthers based on, I think the Eels showed in week one of the finals that, you know, Melbourne aren't without deficiencies, and I think people are perhaps underestimating a little bit the fact that the Panthers have been the best attacking side all season, and that's what everyone's spoken about, but they've also been the best defensive side too. I like Tyrone May into the centres because I think not only is he really solid as a defender, but he can also bring a lot with the ball as well. He has a great combination with Nathan Cleary, and look, they're going to need some luck. It's a grand final. You're going to need some things to go your way, but I'm with Kenny with the 0-3 element as well, Brandy. You've got this great crop of local young guns that have come through together in Nathan and Stephen Crichton and Jerome Luai, and you know, then you've got the father and son coaching synergy happening. So I think it's a great story if Penrith can do it.
Okay, and in a word, Gordy, because I've got to wrap this up, mate, we've got to get to a break.
Melbourne.
Okay.
Okay, good. See you, boys. Thanks.
See you, mate. Brandy. Good to catch up with you, Brandy, and we'll see you out here. By the way, it is raining now. Anyone heading out here, it is actually raining at ANZ Stadium. Now we're going to take a break.
Mate, you were telling us that an hour ago.
What's that?
Good on you, mate. I'm pleased for you.
Yeah, it's raining.
You finally got one right.
It's raining. So if you come out here, see if you let me do my job, Kenty.
Not me, brother. I'm with you.
Brother.
It's Gordon. It's Gordon. Hey, it's Gordon. hey, Gordon and Hoops are the ones that are in here.
It's going to hail up here in Queensland. I'll have to catch an Uber and save the car.
Have you thought about Anthony possibly moving into a little bit of weather forecasting?
I was trying. I might get a job on that Weather Channel on Fox. Yeah, have you got any contacts there?
You could get a start on one of
the. You've got the personality for it.
Channels. You seem very enthusiastic about the weather.
We've got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the quiz, and I'll tell you why I'm enthusiastic about the weather as Triple M rocks the grand final.
Sunday Sinbin is full of experts. If you're looking for expert legal advice, have a chat to Bryden's lawyers. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.